This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
What I'm hearing from those people is they're mad because they chose that guy. And every single chance that the Democrats get is they make fun of him. They try to undo his election. They try to hurl insults at him. And so they get a little upset.
Leon County Republican Party Chairman Evan Power explains why there is such unwavering support from those who voted for President Trump. Power also dives in about his campaign to become national committee man for the Republican Party of Florida.
And that job is they are the leadership that drives what the committee does. It includes helping formulate the rules, the platform, setting up for the convention where all the delegates come together and vote on those things.
And he's taking a page straight from the playbook of the president, his supporters in Washington, and close friends here in Florida.
And I'm watching what Matt Gaetz does on the national level with fighting for the president. And what we need is someone who's active, engaged, and ready to fight for this president, for this governor, and for our Republican principles moving forward.
Chairman Power discusses all that and so much more. You don't want to miss a word of episode 116. Of the Rotunda. Welcome to the program. The impeachment hearing of the 45th President of the United States, Donald Trump, is underway.
You're talking about the witch hunt? Is that what you mean? Is that what you're talking about? I hear it's a joke.
That sums up Trump's view on checks and balances throughout the process, and his views are shared by congressional Republicans. But this episode is focusing more so on the Republican Party, its brand, and what's changed under the Trump administration. Actually, that's a bit too much to unpack on this episode alone, but we will get to touch on some of those changes with a man currently running to become national committee man for the Republican Party of Florida, a position currently held by Peter Feman, who is boasting 115 endorsements and votes for his re-election into that position. That support excludes Leon County Republican Party Chair Evan Power, who claims it's time for change. Evan Power, welcome back to the Rotunda. How's it going?
Everything's going good. It's great to be back with you.
All right. So what are you up to these days?
Well, currently I'm running for national committee man for the Republican Party of Florida and doing the Leon County thing and working for the state party to try to do the best we can to keep Florida great.
So you're currently the Leon County chairman of the Republican Party. Why are you trying to switch?
Well, I think that obviously there's a lot going on in our country. And Florida needs someone who's willing to fight for them on the RNC, beyond 2020, which is what's taking up all the air right now. 2024, we're going to replace President Trump with a new nomination. And Florida needs to be relevant. The primary date should be relevant, which we have to fight for on the RNC level for our primary placement, as well as we need presidential debates in Florida. Florida is an important state, as you're aware. Yeah. And if you ignore Florida until you need them in a general election, that doesn't work out well. So I think Florida should be important in that primary process because there's no state that is as reflective of the nation as Florida is.
You kind of jumped a few years ahead. You said 2024. What about 2020?
Well, 2020, we're gonna reelect the president, but the national committee man job takes over after the convention's over and serves through the next convention. So obviously that term is a broad sense. Mm-hmm. In 2020, we're very committed to getting the president reelected. Obviously, Florida is doing well under his leadership and under the leadership of America's most popular governor, Ron DeSantis. And we're moving in the right direction. We need to keep that going.
All right, man, you're throwing a lot out there already. But let's focus on your committee man goals. Like, what does this job entail?
Basically, it is the voice. There's three voices in Florida that serve on the Republican National Committee: the chairman, the national committee man, and the national committee woman. And that job is they are the leadership that drives what the committee does. It includes helping formulate the rules, the platform, setting up for the convention where all the delegates come together and vote on those things to lead us for the next 4 years in our structure and organization.
Would this job have been, or your prospect or your chances of getting this job been easier if you were the head of the Republican Party here in Florida?
No, I mean, I think obviously they're different paths. I think because of the travel and time I put in when I was thinking about running for chairman, visiting people in their local counties and seeing what it's like to be a Republican in Monroe County to Duval County to Escambia County. I know what it's like on the ground and to our rural counties in Jackson, Suwannee, those kind of areas. I see what the whole state needs, and I'm able to take that skill set and kind of move it into a national level because Florida is so important.
Why do you want this job?
Why? That's an interesting question. I think I sat down and I talked to several people, and I'm watching what Matt Gaetz does on the national level with fighting for the president. And what we need is someone who's active, engaged, and ready to fight for this president, for this governor, and for our Republican principles moving forward.
Are you concerned about the brand of the Republican Party as it is today compared to what it has been over the last few years, pre-2016?
No, I think the Republican brand is strong because we've had such great Republican leadership in all kinds of different forms. The economy is doing extremely well. People are making more money. We did historic tax reform where people are getting more in their paychecks. I think those successes are going to be what we talk about in history, other than the scandal of the day or the media infatuation of the day that happens. When history goes back and looks at this time, they're going to talk about all the great things that Congress and the administration did in tax reform, lowering those burdens to entry with rules and downscaling government in a radical manner.
I guess you don't see anything wrong with the Republican Party today.
No, I don't. I think that we need to be more active. Democrats don't shy away from a fight. They'll throw everything they can against the wall, and you see it on TV every day. You see that they're not willing to accept anything. They'll fight on every level. And what the Republican Party needs is fighters who are willing to engage at that level. And, you know, in Leon County, you've been here for this. I was not scared of Andrew Gillum as George Soros' handpicked candidate. And I stood toe-to-toe and fought him when he was in City Hall and when he ran for governor. And I kind of think that the Republican Party needs those kind of fighters that are willing to go out and do that.
I'm trying to look for room for improvement or things that you would do differently or add to a brand that you're saying that it's already, like, you know, great. So what would you do differently to elevate the party?
I think to elevate the party, it's the fighting part. It's taking our message and delivering it to people. We've let the media and we've let the Democrats try to drive that narrative for so long that we need to sell the things that are successes. We can't back off from them. A lot of times, especially in a state like Florida, where we've had so much success as Republicans on a state level, you can get kind of lulled into a false sense of security with it, and you don't sell the great points. We've got to hammer those points home and fight people when they say, oh, you're the party that is, you know, whatever the thing is today, which are not true statements. You know, we like, you hear a lot of the racist brand being pushed out there. But what's happening now is this economy's taken both African-American and Hispanic unemployment to record lows. These are things that really sell. If you look at Trump rallies, the attendance is about 25% African-American. That's a brand that's growing and doing things. And I think what you see with this president going into states that may not seem competitive and having rallies, you're seeing him turn out people that are not traditional voters, people who have never been involved in the process, but they've found this guy that talks to them and comes out and does that. And we need to sell that into the Republican brand moving forward.
I often say, like, you know, a problem doesn't come up unless it just doesn't pop out of nowhere. So when people are questioning racist statements, racist views, racist actions, and eliminating programs or denigrating certain types of people, it came from somewhere. So what would you do differently for those who are seeing that? And going back, I remember there was an attempt by some Republicans to diversify the party and bring more African Americans in. Is that still a goal? And are you concerned about that being pushed aside when you're seeing some statements that are offensive to African Americans?
Well, I think anytime you have these things, and we're all on tape all the time now, and you can take things, and some people interpret things to be a desired outcome. And actually, in reality, most of the times, I don't think they necessarily are. It's whatever, you know, they're speaking, they're talking. What we have in Florida, though, is one of my friends is the chairman of Palm Beach County, is an African-American guy, Michael Barnett, who's a very articulate for the president and a fighter. We have great successes on minorities in the Republican Party at the state level. Jeanette Nunez is the first Cuban-American female lieutenant governor after Carlos Lopez Quintero was the first Cuban-American male lieutenant governor, you're seeing that kind of brand and that diversity here in Florida, because Florida is kind of a diverse state. So you get that. What we need, we have to do a better job of selling that. I don't think we have not lost that. I think what you're seeing from the economic successes and the things that we've done is we're bringing a more diverse mix of people into the party, because they see beyond traditional fault lines of partisan politics, and they know that they have a job, they're making more money. And I think that kind of packaging what we've done will work a lot to bringing people into the party.
I have to note, it's kind of tricky when you identify an African-American man and then say he's articulate.
Well, no, and then I didn't mean it that way. I mean, he articulates a president's message well. I didn't mean it in that way. You know, he's a passionate fighter for the president is probably a better way to put it. But he has been on the front lines with Donald Trump from the very beginning. I mean, before like the party had coalesced around it, Michael Barnett's been fighting, and he lives right down there at Ground Central of Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach County. Mm-hmm. But he is someone who is very committed to this president, and I use him as an example because he is that kind of Trump Republican that feels like this president speaks to him and speaks for, you know, for, he has a diverse population there because he has the Haitian temporary program that was there and what was expiring. And he was a guy who fought to extend that temporary protections for the Haitian Americans down there, or the Haitians down there that were here, living here. And so I think, you know, he has that interesting mix of a population center, and he's done a very good job of managing that down there.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, chatting with Leon County Republican Chairman Evan Power.
How do you deal? You mentioned a Trump Republican, and there is a difference between being a Trump Republican, being a conservative, and being like, you know, they're never Trumpers, and there are different factions within the party, and the division has grown wider. How do you deal with those who are concerned that the brand of the party is being damaged by a Trump Republican or the Trump style of the party?
Well, I don't think that this is any different than any other period of time, except that we all have phones and Twitter and Facebook. I think when, you know, because we haven't had a Republican president since that kind of rise of the Twitter era. I think even during Obama's time, you saw Democrats who disagreed with him passionately about some things and thought he did not do enough for certain groups of people. So I think that always exists. They have a better platform now with Twitter and Facebook. But if you look at the president's approval rating with Republicans, it's in the high 90s, which is where it is with every president. So I think every president in that brand, you know, generally, I think this is no different than any other time, except people have a platform to kind of air their grievances. But beyond that, I think you're going to see, just like after the nomination, Republicans coalesce around their nominee. When we renominate Donald Trump, people are going to do that. There's going to be those fringe actors who are able to make money. A lot of them make money off of this brand that exists. But the fact is, the president is winning for the Republican causes, you know, and the things we talked about, historic tax reform, those kinds of things. And it makes it easier for the brand to continue to grow and continue to articulate those messages of economic success and jobs. I mean, the stock market today is at a record high. I don't think it's up like 30% since the president took over. There's something to be said for what's happening out there. And I think it's Republican principles and policies being applied in a broad manner.
I'm wondering, is there a mechanism to, if the brand is being taken in a different way that you don't want it to be, to eject someone who is not doing good for the brand, whether it be the president or anyone along the ranks? I don't know. Have you guys thought of this or?
No, I mean, I think you run into this. You know, there's people in Congress is the best example because there's so much media. There's always people who have done something that the party doesn't like from a Republican standpoint or a Democrat standpoint. But I think the thing about the Republican Party is it's a very big tent party. There's a lot of different ideas in it. And we fight for those ideas passionately. But I think you're seeing a solidification for Republicans now because what happened to Judge Kavanaugh and the way that they attacked him and that the way they attack certain different people when they, you know, the president in this case on the impeachment thing, it's they want to undo elections, they want to do these things. And I don't think it helps the Democrats from that standpoint of you're getting Republicans who are getting angry. They felt like what happened to Judge Kavanaugh was wrong, so they decided to fight back. And I think you're seeing that kind of force of nature around this impeachment thing. I send emails and I get feedback on emails a lot, and people are passionate about defending the president against this impeachment because they feel it's undoing the will of their vote. What I tell people is there's a lot of Trump voters who never voted before. Mm-hmm. And they signed up, they registered to vote, or they had not, or had registered before and hadn't voted, but they went out and cast their first vote for President Trump. And can you imagine doing that and feeling good about it? And then as people were hurling insults about people who would dare do that. So then they won against all the odds and against all the media.
Yeah.
And then they turn on their TV, you know, 3 or 4 weeks later, because they don't live and breathe this like you and I do.
Yeah.
And they turn on their TV and people are attacking the guy they voted for. What I'm hearing from those people is they're mad because they chose that guy. And every single chance that the Democrats get is they make fun of him. They try to undo his election. They try to hurl insults at him. And so they get a little upset because that was the guy they trusted. You know, they put up with other presidents they weren't involved in, but they turn on the TV and they're attacking the one choice that they've made.
Mm-hmm.
And they think he's delivering for them. And he is economically.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, bringing you stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. Each week, this program is supported by listeners like you. Visit rotundapodcast.com to share your feedback, pitch story ideas, or become an underwriter by sponsoring this program. Follow us on social media at Rotunda Podcast. And thanks for your support. Welcome back to the program. Evan Power, the chair of the Leon County Republican Party, is running to become national committee man.
What we've seen a lot is, facts aside, or from my view, looking at when something hits the fan, it's like, facts aside, the support is still there. And to your point, we're in an age where everything is recorded, but we have a president who wants to be on the front lines,
mm-hmm.
and be his own spokesperson. And time and time again, he's caught with his foot in the mouth, or whatever the term is. But his supporters are forced to ride with it, even when he's caught red-handed. And we're seeing that going through with the impeachment hearings and all of that stuff. So I don't know, like, what do we do when stuff is said by the president, confirmed by the president, and then he backpedals? Like, it's just this endless circle. Some of these issues we've seen are the president's own doing.
And I think there are things that he does that some of it I think is intentional to rile up the press and get them pushed into a certain direction for an impact. And I think he does a pretty good job of that. He wants to control his own narrative. But what I think is important about this president is that he does want to be on the front lines. He wants to drive the discussion. He realizes his power base is not sitting in D.C., sitting in the Oval Office, letting the media do a press briefing and then distribute the facts. What he's learned is if you allow that filter to be applied, his message doesn't get out. The message of these successes doesn't get out. So he found, and I think he found it midway through his campaign when he started doing all the rallies around and did them at such an intense rate that Hillary Clinton couldn't keep up. As he's hitting 4 or 5 rallies a day and she's doing 1 or 2,
mm-hmm.
is that he found that the people, he had a power base with them that exists outside of the normal structure of the media. So that's why he continues to do the rallies and continues to go out and deliver that message directly to his fans and to his voters. And you're seeing crowds that I never would have imagined would show up for a rally on a Tuesday, you know, not in an election year, not anywhere around,
mm-hmm.
and you're filling stadiums. So obviously that kind of power base exists. I did a thing for the Tallahassee Democrat when Donald Trump first got elected, and I compared him a little bit to Andrew Jackson. And I think that narrative still fits. Is Andrew Jackson was not a polished career politician. He was a former general who had fought a duel, had a bullet stuck inside him. He was kind of one of those brash guys.
Mm-hmm.
But he was liked by the people. And the story is that his inauguration party was so great that they had to take the barrels of whiskey from inside the White House and put them outside so the people would actually leave. So those, you know, but that kind of nature of having the people behind you and not necessarily establishment leads to a lot of these fights. And I think, you know, history looks at things differently. And we're kind of getting to the point where, you know, in 5 years we'll take this presidency down, and you know, this presidency will move on and history will look at it. I think that that kind of same movement applies here, is that it's not a polished career politician, but that's not what America wanted or needed at the time, is they needed someone to come in and disrupt the system.
All right, disrupting the system. That's a good way of of putting it. So as national committee man, how would that benefit the Florida Republican Party to have you in that position?
I think what I provide is the ability to fight. I want to be on that front line fighting for our candidates, both here in Florida and on a national level. But I also think the primary, you know, what I said earlier a little bit is I think the primary, our primary placement is very important, and I want to be a strong voice to make sure that we're relevant. Florida is the best cross-section of America. And if you can win in Florida, you can win in the nation. And we do ourselves a service as Republicans if we let Florida kind of be that testing ground for people to compete in different media markets, different groups of people, dealing with, you know, a South Florida diverse population, and all the way up to a panhandle, old, almost South Alabama kind of feel. You get a good cross-section of what the nation is. And so I think that primary should be relevant. I believe we need debates here in Florida. So that people can, we can drive that interest and drive that. You can't just do that in a general election when you've ignored them. And then I think also on fighting on the national level for a platform that is a conservative Republican platform, one that I strongly believe in.
So lastly, I was going to wrap this up before you mentioned this. Should we have a closed primary system? It should be opened up. Where do you stand there?
I believe that the parties need a closed primary system. You do not let the members, you do not let the employees of Pepsi on the board of Coca-Cola, which is essentially what you're doing by allowing Democrats to compete in Republican primaries. The Republican primary system works because we pick a nominee that's best for us. And then we let the Democrats pick that nominee. There's other parties that can nominate someone or put someone on the ballot. And then everyone has a say in that November election. So I really don't buy into this, we're, you know, disenfranchising voters or whatever. They're happy. The supervisor of elections will let you join whatever party you want to participate in their primary at any given time. And everyone gets a say in November. But I think it's crucial to both the Republican and Democratic causes, and we're united in this, is that we believe we should determine our own nominees because that's why we exist.
What about the independents?
They get to decide in November. I mean, you get to choose.
But we don't get the whole, we're like sitting out, and we don't get to see what's happening. We have to wait.
Well, you've chosen, if you're an independent, you've chosen to sit out. I mean, you have not chosen one of the parties, and then you get to choose from those selections in November. And third parties exist, and third parties have won over time, if that is a true desire. But I think that once you get into this where people, and some states have tried it, and let's be clear, this is not an open primary system that they're proposing. It's a jungle primary, and the jungle primaries failed in California. It's led to bad effects out there, and the same elite money interests that have done it in California are the ones who are bringing it here. Because what they want is not to include independents. Is what they independents included is the nice talking point. Mm-hmm. But what they want to do is let money determine who wins, because they can fund somebody into to force someone off of the jungle primary. And you end up with two Republicans or two Democrats. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to serve the state well, is to have two people from one party on the ballot. And I think that will cause a even larger problems than independents not being able to vote in the primary system.
All right. Well, Evan Power, thank you so much for joining me back here on the Rotunda. Good luck with your run for national committeeman.
Thank you, sir.
That's it for this edition of the Rotunda. Special thanks to Leon County Republican Chairman Evan Power. Remember to follow the program on social media at Rotunda Podcast, or you can find me at Trimmel G. That's TRIMMELG. Also, check us out at rotundapodcast.com, where you can contribute to this program and suggest topics and story ideas. And be sure to join us next week for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Trimmel Gomes.